We want to continue on our series on Accelerate. Like I said, we're going to talk about various subjects all through that will take us into 2019 by the grace of God. I wanted to say 2099. But amen. Hallelujah. My title this morning is Do Not Hurry Ahead of God. We're talking about acceleration, but do not hurry ahead of God. Do not hurry ahead of God. Jeremiah 29:11, very common scripture. I'm reading from the Amplified. The Lord said, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Hope in your final outcome. That final outcome, that future, is the most important thing to God. That's one of the most important things every one of us needs to understand. That God wants you to make it to that future. Because if you understand that God finished you before he started you, then what he finished is the future. He wants you to get there. And by the grace of God, you and I will get there. Amen. You see, that future is the one that God has planned, not the one you have planned. If we understood, and by revelation, you know, every one of us needs to understand that the greatest force for your benefit, for my benefit, is revelation. When you understand by revelation that future which God has prepared for you, then it becomes your reason for waking up every day. So you now wake up because everything you now will be doing will be geared towards that future. You see, your Christian life, your destiny is a serious matter. It's a serious matter to God. It's a serious matter to the devil. The devil will do anything to sidetrack you. The devil will do anything to distract you. And God will do anything to put you on the line. That's why that prayer we prayed earlier, that Lord, by your word, by your Holy Spirit, you will put me in the path that I'm supposed to be on. Many have left the path they are supposed to be on. Because you are in church does not mean you are on the path that you are supposed to be on. Because the path you are on now, how you are going to know you are on the right path that God has planted for you? If challenges should rise now, how firm, how grounded are you on that path? For me, I know it, I'm following it, and nothing can change my mind from God. Nothing can change my mind from what God has called me to do. Praise the Lord. Some of us have found what God has called us to do, but fear, trepidation, he's not allowing us to act. I've been there. finding reasons why not to act, finding reasons why not to rise, finding reasons why something will go wrong. And yet you've not started. I pray that God will give you the grace to start today. Just listen to me, and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. Another thing of note is, you need to know and be sure that as you are on that path, as you are facing the future you believe God has ended for you to achieve, make sure you are facing the right direction of that future. Not everybody on the road is facing the right direction. As I was meditating on this scripture, on this preaching this morning, I also started remembering some certain things that have happened to me many times. Especially driving. I don't know about you, I've driven further than home many times. Depending what you are carrying on your mind. I have gone beyond my house before. Not once, not twice, not even 10 times. Because the mind became preoccupied. And the preoccupation of the mind became a distraction. I've been to the filling station, gas station before. And I started putting diesel inside my car. And my car was not diesel. Mind. Distraction. You need to know, you must be sure you are facing the right direction towards your future. The opposite direction towards that future is the place where God is never going to go with you. I pray for anybody here this morning. If you have not known the direction you need to face, I pray that God will give you the grace to find it. Amen. If you are facing the wrong direction, I pray that God will help you find a roundabout where you will make a U-turn and begin to face God's direction for your life in Jesus' mighty name. Listen to me. Everybody wants to win. The world has their definition of winning. And it differs from one person to another, from one country to another, from one family to another. My mother wanted me to be an engineer. Look at me today, I'm a pastor. Initially, nobody will be happy that your son, your daughter wants to preach. They'll start comparing you with your mates. Your mate is a director in the bank. Your mate has built a house. Your mates have just bought new cars. You better go and find a good job. Or no, they won't even say good job. You better go and find a job. Because preaching is not a job. They don't see it like that. They don't see you on a path that God has called you to be. I'm not saying everybody needs to preach, but everybody's a preacher anyway. You're an evangelist. Can I hear an amen? So, you may run and win, but if you are not running within God's plan, within God's purpose, you have not won. God will not consider that a win. Praise the Lord. The ultimate judge who will say who is a winner and who is not a winner. Most of the time, material things derail people's mind away from God. Some of us cannot handle material blessing. For some people, it's the quickest way to forget God. It's the quickest way not to serve at all. It's the quickest way to puff up and live a life full of pride. To run this race of life is to run with God. To run with God and not ahead of God. Your plan, my plan, can never be bigger than God's plan for you and for me. Your planned future can never be brighter than the future that God has planned for you. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will lead you to God's future for your life. In Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 14. And I read the Amplified as well. It says, for all who are led. Or another Amplified says, for all who allow themselves or are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Those who are allowing themselves to be led of God. Those who are saying, Lord God, be the director of my life. Those are the ones who will follow road signs on the highway. Those are the ones who will keep to the speed limit. Those are the ones who will listen to their navigator, the exit to take. I am a master in arguing with navigators because I always feel I know better than the navigator. Because sometimes the navigator wants to take you through unfamiliar road. And you are like, well, but I know the way. But the way the navigator is programmed, it's programmed to know where there are roadblocks. It's programmed to know where there are accidents. Because it leads you per minute or less. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter, I think it's chapter 11. Verse 9, Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, or chapter 9, verse 11, sorry. Yeah, chapter 9, verse 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. That's what I needed to hold on to that. The race is not to the fastest. Running the race of life. Getting to that expected end is not a dash. It's not a quick one. It's not about who gets there first. God is not measuring your success, your advantage by your swiftness. The race is not to the swift. Life is not about who runs the fastest. Life is not about even who started well. Because sometimes adrenaline within you makes you start well. You are so excited about it. And then the challenges of life begin to come. The adrenaline begins to leak. It's not about starting well. It's about starting, and it's about finishing well. You will finish well. Amen. I say you will finish well. Amen. The race is not to the swift, but to the person that finishes well. Colossians translation. Tell your neighbor you will finish well. Pray it as a prayer for them. You will finish well. In Jesus' name. Hebrews 12. And I read from verse 1 to 2, the New King James Version. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Let's put away every weight, every distraction, every sin that easily besets us. Those stumbling blocks you know are there. Some which you put there yourself. Lay them aside. Sometimes we want to blame every other person for why we are not where we ought to be, why we are not doing what we need to do, but we don't look at ourselves. He says we should lay it aside, every weight. Who is carrying the weight? You. Put down the weight. Any weight, anything that is not allowing you to do the things that God is requiring of you, God says put them aside. Anything that will not allow you to reach that future, that ordained future, that peace that God has settled for you, for your children, for your spouse, he says, put them aside. That phone that will not allow you to drive well. Hello? You know, as much as they say, put adverts out there. Don't text while driving. We're always tempted. Am I correct? Because we think we are faster and we are smarter. What you need to tell yourself is, you know what? My life is more valuable than this text I want to send. Amen? Let me tell you something. I've shared it before in one of my seminars. People who drive car like Formula One, NASCAR, beyond the driving, they coach them psychologically, emotionally. They prepare them for challenges, for accidents. And they tell them that should in case anything happens, don't keep your eyes off the road. Because wherever you are looking at, that's where your hand will go. Go and try it. But don't try it on the highway. Have you been driving with your phone and trying to text and you find out that your hand is going somewhere else? Because your eyes are no longer on the road. That's a weight and a sin that easily besets. That boy that is pressuring you, that girl that is pressuring you, let me talk to our young people. Can you go back to Ecclesiastes 9. Chapter 11. Chapter 11. Rejoice, O young man, or young woman in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that all this, God will bring you into judgment. You see, your youth is a gift. Ask elderly people here. If you have even gone beyond 30, we always wish that we can rewind the clock. But you are in the clock now. Don't rewind it. Because it's unrewindable. Praise the Lord. If you use it well, sow it well as a seed, your future is guaranteed. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to use my knee as an example. I use anything I find. You know, in those days we used to play soccer. Nigeria doesn't have good hospitals or clinic or what have you, you know. And then you like playing soccer. And you get hurt. Somebody tackled you, you fell. You limp a little bit, you shake it off. But there's a damage there. And you get home, your mom sees you. Ah, what happened? They know you went to play ball. You lie. I don't know about your mom, but normal thing that my mom will do, she will take hot water and a napkin, put it in hot water, squeeze it, and then kind of press it, and then put shea butter. Hey, for our parents, shea butter is the miracle ointment. If you say your teeth is paining you, they'll put it inside your mouth. Your eye is paining you, they will put it on your eye. You know? And it works. But guess what? When old age began to set in, the limping became more obvious. Then I began to ask myself, what happened to my knee? What happened? I went to the hospital. They said, what happened to your knee? I said, I don't know. Until I started thinking and said, how many times did you get hurt playing soccer on this knee? Now, you are paying the price. Praise the Lord. But then I did not know that in America in 2018, it's going to affect me badly to the extent that they are going to take me into the theater and do surgery on it, and yet it's not totally healed yet. Your youth is a gift. The time we have is a gift. Let's sow it well. Let's use it well. And we will win in the future. I say we will win in the future. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded, Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with what? With endurance. King James says, run with patience. So don't outrun the road. Don't outrun the plan. Don't outrun the sign. Don't overrun so that you don't, because if you overrun, you may not even get to the future. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, but he who endures to the end, he who endures to the future, he who endures reaching the end that God has ended before they are started, he says, they shall be saved. Hallelujah. If you are going to win with God, you need staying power. You need enduring power. Winter, fall, summer, any weather, typhoon, you are hanging on and you are trusting God. That is the life that is going to win. Amen. Like I shared with our workers this morning, a lot of people are more preoccupied by what somebody else is thinking about them. What will they think? You know, maybe you are dressing up for some imaginary people. What they will think about your dress. Nobody's looking at your dress. Just dress nice. And dress modest. Praise the Lord. By the time we leave here, you ask me, well, somebody, did you see what that person is? I can't remember. I'm not looking. Praise the Lord. Don't be preoccupied. Be more concerned about what God is saying concerning you. And you find out in the scriptures. You find out in the place of prayer. You find that out by revelation. The question is, before we pray, how do you think God is going to measure your faithfulness? How is your faithfulness going to be measured? It's going to be measured by what you have acquired. It's going to be measured by the places you've been, the degrees you have. Those things are good. They are not the ultimate. God is going to judge your faithfulness by what you do with your life, by what you do with your resources, by what you do in advancing his kingdom. So when you are running that race, you are running it as a kingdom race. Praise the Lord. And you will finish well. Amen. I say you will finish well. Amen. A lot of people have passed through this church. And many don't. They find a reason why. I was sharing with somebody the other day about how people don't like Kansas City. She's an African-American lady. She was shocked. She was like, what? I said, because they think there are no opportunities here. She was like, really? You see, when you don't stay long enough in a place, you can't know what that place has to offer you. Hello, somebody. Oh, now your voice is down. Maybe you are planning to leave Kansas City. When you don't stay long enough, when you are not committed long enough, when you are not planted long enough, how can you bear fruits? If your life is a vagabond life, moving from place to place, looking for something, you are eroding your significance as you are going everywhere. It's not a curse. It's the truth. Oh, somebody offended me, so I'm moving. By the grace of God, when you get to where you are going, somebody else will offend you. Please move again. You don't love anybody in the assembly. Nobody loves me. Then you move by the grace of God. When you get to wherever you are going, when you don't love anybody, nobody else will love you. You want to reap the seed. You want to reap the fruit of the seed that you have not sown. Is somebody getting me? Hello? You need to be committed. Committed to kingdom. Committed to your relationships. You are looking for benefits in life, somebody to help you, somebody to connect you, but you are not relating with people. Some people just want to use other people. That's all. And they are gone. Such people don't produce. My question is, can God trust somebody he can't find? Hello? Can God trust somebody he can't find? How can God trust you if he can't find you? How can God trust you if you are not constant? If you are not committed? If you are not committed to the road that leads to that future? How can he find you should anything happen? If your job sends you with the business car and say go from A to B, and you call them, oh, the car is broken down, where are you? I'm in point D. Then you become a suspect. That's not where we sent you. Praise the Lord. I want you to ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, touch them. Can God depend on you? Should God be looking for you? You can only grow where you are planted. Amen? The race is not to the swift. The race is not to the one blown by every wind. Put your faith in luck. Lock down your faith. Develop deeper roots. Before you know it, you become significant. Before you know it, you become the go-to person. Before you know it, oh, if you are not seen, we'll start asking after you. Because something you are supposed to be doing is void. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you can't be everywhere. Amen. Psalm 92. This time, I thought my message was finishing. Psalm 92, verse 13 and 15, or verse 13 to 15. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God wants you to succeed, but you have to be planted. They shall still bear fruit in old age. That can be anything. They shall be fresh. Look at me. Fresh. Look at mommy there. Fresh. Look at Mr. Enechukwu. Fresh. Old age. Fresh. In Christ, you will always be fresh. Hallelujah. In the presence of God, you what? You will always be fresh. Flourishing. He says to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Listen to me. You have a choice. A choice to commit to God's plan and produce, or live in fear and end up with nothing. But pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Whatever you are going through, God will see you through. I say, whatever you are going through, God will see you through. Whatever you are going through, God will see you through. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You are a gift. And wherever God has planted you is a gift for you. Make the most of it. Hallelujah. It's good to have big dreams. If you have big dreams and you don't have deep commitments, your big dreams will just be dreams. Big dreams require deep commitment. Deep, deep commitment. That's what it demands. Your passion. Your passion. Not your job. Your passion demands patience. Why? So you don't outrun or overrun your passion. Because you are so much in a hurry, you just find out that that passion dies. And you pick up something else along the line. Finally, the journey may be long. The journey may be hard. But God wants you to be faithful. Keep on that road. That future is settled for you. And you will not miss it. I say you will not miss it. In Jesus' name.